Hey Ben.
It's all working okay?
Yeah, good.
Yeah?
Well, well, before you do anything, read that. See if that conforms with what you want. Yeah, from there down.
So we've got early memories, and it says cable cars to Melbourne City and back travel.
Wait, look up there.
Okay.
Take it on. I'm going nowhere.
Wow, was there special occasions for building the...
What?
The bonfire?
Yeah, yeah, they used to celebrate the... That was in the 1920s, and not far past the, you know, King and Queen, you know, of England, you know. They used to celebrate Guy Fawkes, King's birthday. See, the King of England was in existence then. King's birthday, what else do they celebrate? Oh, you know, big occasions. They'd have a bonfire. I think it means also getting rid of their rubbish. And sometimes these bonfires would go as, you know, the neighbours would say, take this old chair that's not being used, stick that on, and they'd build it up, you know, and they'd light it. And, yeah, don't forget there's plenty of space. You know, where all these flats you see around here now was space. You know, just...
Were they empty blocks of land?
Empty blocks of land. And they'd build these, they'd have these bonfires to celebrate, say, King's birthday and other notable events. All the kids would be excited, you know. And crack a night, you know. You were allowed to use crackers in those days. But, anyhow, see, we'll take that with you, anyhow.
Okay. So, were you born in Elwood?
No.
Where were you born?
Hawthorne.
You were born in Hawthorne?
Yeah.
And what year was that?
1918. That makes me, what is that, 80s? Something. 1918, I was born, 10th of May, 11th of May, 1918. Well, how old am I now?
87.
87, hey?
Yeah, must be.
That's 87, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's 2005 now.
Yeah.
So if we knock, if we make you 90 and knock 3 years off,
yeah.
Then you're 87.
87.
So in 2008, you'll be 90, won't you?
Yeah, will I? Yeah.
Excuse me.
If they say I'm 90, I'm 90.
No, you're not 90. You're 90 minus 3.
Yeah.
I'm not real good at maths.
Big man?
I'm not real good at maths.
Oh, you must be.
So I work it out backwards.
Well, do you?
Yeah, so I go, if you're 90 in 2008, sort of round it off to the tens, and it's 2005, you must be 87. So don't you count your birthdays anymore? You don't count the candles on the cake?
Can't even count the cake. Don't get the cake. But,
So when did you move to Elwood?
I was born in, out Hawthorne. My parents had a house in Hawthorne for a while, you know, and, then I think at an early age, a very early age, they bought this place in Elwood, this house, and I've been here ever since.
Mm.
You know, that's how it is. You know, I've been here all my life.
So were you, have you seen Martin yet? Here?
Have you seen Martin, my son?
Who answered the door?
Yeah, well, he's a similar type.
Yes.
Yeah, a dwarf. Like, what were you going to say? Sorry.
So, did you move here when you were a boy? A child?
Yeah, they moved. Yeah, I mean...
So
yeah.
Were you 10 or something like that?
Oh, no. Well, I was about 3 or 4. Yeah, and moved here and into this house. And I've been here ever since.
And did your mum and dad ever talk about why they wanted to live in Elwood, why they chose Elwood?
Oh, yes, by the sea. Yeah, it was very hawthorn and nothing for them. But they said if they could get by the sea, it would be good. And isn't it funny, I used to be so keenly interested in photography. And I can think of all the landmarks that were here in existence in Elwood that I just let fall into oblivion, you know, because you said, oh, that'll be there forever.
Give us an example.
Point Ormond Jetty. See, Point Ormond Jetty, where we used to go and fishing, you know, for garfish. And Point Ormond Jetty, the brick wall, down on the beachfront, see, that's all been reclaimed. Yeah, that from the road to the sea. It was only the road, and then this long stretch of wall, sea wall, you know, and on rough days, the water would bash against the wall and spray the road, which in time, flooded the streets, you know, like that. But, different, you know, like you thought everything, well, even in your sweet life, you look around you and you say, oh, that'll be here, you know, but it disappears some year, you know, you wake up and it's not there, you know, you say, why didn't I take note of that, you know, but, and then, like, up the other end of the, what do they call it, Marine Parade, that's a street alongside the beach, you're going down to Luna Park. Luna Park was the mecca of all people going there, you know, and Luna Park, the merry-go-round, scenic railway, excuse me, pardon me.
Bless you.
Martin, when is coming back?
Let's
go for it. All right, go there first, clean your hands, and how old he is. 19.
Uh-huh. I thought he would have been a bit older, actually.
Yeah, 19.
Yeah, so sort of early 20s.
Early 20s. What was my life?
You were saying that Luna Park was a real mecca and there was all sorts of fabulous rides there.
Yeah. Well, see, the village bell, you know, up the shopping centre, yeah, there was shops there for years. Yeah, well-known shops. Because in those days there were no supermarkets. You know, you shopped in your own suburb. And they provided everything you wanted.
And is that where your family used to shop?
Yeah, just up the road. You know, the village well.
In Ackland Street?
Ackland Street.
Oh, yes, I live just behind the Village Bell Hotel.
Oh, do you live there?
I live in Foster Avenue.
Yeah, that's there. That was Foster Avenue. What's that street between the hotel and the corner?
Smith Street,
is it? Yeah.
And it runs along the hotel off Barclay Street.
Up to is it the, where's the street around the back of the hotel?
Smith Street. And it runs up to, almost up to Carlisle Street.
Yeah,
it kind of dog legs around there.
Yeah. I used to drive once until the car gave up the ghost. I used to travel around there a lot, just to see. But then,
So you used to go shopping down to the village now?
Yeah.
So that's what people used to call it, did they?
The village is here. If you look on the hotel, it's got the village bell. Have you looked up?
I sure have. And did it have another name before that, or it's always been the village bell?
No, always called the village bell, which incorporated the township, the township around it.
So when did it start changing a lot in your mind?
Oh, I suppose Village Bell changed when people got cars. When they got cars, they travelled out, seeking new places. When the change, that was it, because we used to, it was a new adventure to travel out and shop, South Melbourne Market, like that, whereas if you didn't have a car, how could you get there?
And so how did you get up to the village bell? Did you catch the cable car?
Oh, no, the cable car was in the village bell. Yeah, where the tram goes now, that used to be the cable car, and do the same route. That's going back.
And did it continue down Mitford Street?
No. It stopped at the terminus of what do they call it? Stopped at the terminus of between. The Coles used to be up the village well. Can you remember that? Yeah, Coles. Well, that's where the tram stopped and reversed and went back again. Go on.
And so how did you get to the shopping centre? How did you get to the village bell from here?
Walk. You thought nothing of walking, But... Is that thing coming out? No, it was a plug. I mean, from this. No.
I can go like that, but I only need to hear this.
The only
reason why I have this in is that if the tape ends, I can hear it end. When the tape ends, I'll hear it end.
If
I don't have this in, then I don't hear it end, and we go yakety-yakety-yakety, and all of a sudden I look down and there's nothing there.
I did
that the other day, because I don't like having things in my ear, because it makes it kind of seem too official. But then I thought, I'll put it in, and then the tape ended, and we lost some of the discussion. So you said here they had butchers and drapers, toys, all of those different sorts of shops. What was your favourite shop?
I suppose in those days, the lolly shop. Ford, the butchers, good quality meat. That was there for years. That was the shop in the middle of Berkeley Street. And Coles came, and that was a big concern. That used to be, you remember Coles, do you?
I do remember. I lived in St Kilda in the early 70s.
Yeah.
But I didn't grow up here.
No. I, without being facetious, I can say I didn't grow up either. Although I lived here.
Yes. And did you go to school at Elwood?
We are Catholics, and we were all into school down St. Columbus. There's another point. I don't think I mentioned it in there. There used to be a school, sort of a breaking-in school, if you like, Netley College, on the corner of Berkeley Street and Midford Street. It used to be there. There used to be a congregational church, on the corner, and at the back of that, Netley College, which was just a primary school. I don't know what grade it went up into, but that's where most of the kids around this had their early start at school, Netley College. Netley. Pardon me. That was Netley College. And then I went down to St. Columbus in Glen Huntley Road. You know where that is?
I do.
Yeah. So that was there.
How long did you stay at St. Columbus?
Until I got my merit. In those days, the merit was the big thing. And then I went on to college, Christian Brothers College, East St. Kilda. And then from there, I went to a very good school, St. Kevin's, out in Haines, and where I did my leaving honours. That was that.
I know where you mean.
Yeah.
And then what did you do after that?
A lot of the people that went to the college were professionals. They went into professional life. Some became lawyers, some became judges, academics. But there was a let out in those days for pupils with good qualifications. They joined the public service. And the public service was not to be demeaned or anything like that, but they were seeking good clerical staff, I went there, and I was in the public service for how long? 47 years.
Really?
Yeah. So, first of all, I applied to go into the Commonwealth Service, and you had to have medically examination, and I was checked over by the medical doctor, and he was I was going to go up to Canberra. And he was in a bit of a quandary to send me there or not. And I had to ring him. I remember this. I thought the world had fallen in. And although I got good marks, I came 30th in the state for the public service exam in the Commonwealth, but they had to fail me, I suppose because of my height, in the public service. So I didn't get in the Commonwealth public service, although I got in the state public service, where I started on the 13th of January 1938. And I was there for, I retired in 1979, long period.
And what department did you work for?
First of all, I was in the Children's Welfare Department. They looked after the reformatories and the bad boys and girls. And then I went to state taxation, which was land tax, probate, there combined. And I was there for the rest of my term in the public service. I retired in 79. I had a long life. And I now,
Did you get promoted over the
years? I had a fight for the promotion all the time. That's how you got on, If a job came in another department or was better, you put an application in and you retired, Look, I think I'll have a drink of water, if I may.
Just stop this. Beautiful. So we were talking about promotions and applying for jobs and stuff.
Eventually I got a job where I stayed for years, and funny thing, talking about job, I was in charge of the correspondence branch, which was 33 women, typists and stenographers and all such, I was in charge of that. But I had other links, to do some of the jobs. But I used to supervise all the letters that went out from the state land tax, So it was a good job. I enjoyed it. And I used to, the boys would submit letters going to the public in reply to queries. And some of the letters were terrible, and I had to sit down and correct them, make sure they didn't sue us or something. but it was just so funny, some of the boys were, they'd vent their anger on the public, they'd query land tax, they'd bent them on the public, which was, I thought to myself, if this letter went out, that's suicide almost. But I had to be the backstop, as it were.
The voice of reason.
Hey?
The voice of reason.
Experience. Rather than reason, experience.
And did you drive to town?
Did you
catch the tram?
Oh, I always went in by tram, and trams come home by train, but I had my car, a Hillman Minx. I had it 30-odd years. No garage. I used to stick it out in front. Martin's got his car, a white one out in front. And that's that. So I had a wonderful time in my car. During my holidays, I used to go. I love fishing. I used to like fishing, and all around the, up to the, what do they call it, Tambo, or anywhere where there's fishing stream, I'd be there, So it was good.
And were you a member of the angling club?
I was the, I'm a life member now. I used to almost run it. Yeah, the old angling club. Do you know anyone in it?
Des Pickett?
Oh, Des Pickett, he's a wonderful man. Des Pickett and Alva? Yeah. I ring Des every day just to say, do you want to talk to him now?
I have spoken to him already.
Have you today?
No, I spoke to him last week.
But Des Pickett, he's a member, he's a champion, wonderful fisherman, angler, I should say. And lovely man, Des Pickett, he used to play for St Kilda once.
Well, I interviewed him and Alva last week, so they're also going to be part of this project, this publication, this book. It's going to be part of, they're going to be part of this book that we're making, this little book for the historical
story. Yeah, well, that'd be good to have in. I'll tell you something, you'll notice, I've been in the best of health all the time, but now, lately, my hearing's going down a bit, probably you notice I say I beg your pardon a lot, but tell me, how old did you say, 87, which is a good age.
That's an extremely good age to be in good health.
Yeah, well I am, very rarely a doctor.
Now you must have been a late dad, because if Martin's 19.
Well, I am late. Well, I didn't marry. As a matter of fact, what's the day today? The 8th.
I think so.
Today is our anniversary.
Is it?
Yeah, 8th of December, 79. See, and then Martin came along, and Bob's your uncle. He's always been accepted, Martin, Irene. Did we meet Irene? No. She might have gone shopping or something.
Tell us about Irene.
Where did I...
Is she a local too?
No. She comes from Malaysia.
She wasn't born in Elwood then?
She was Chinese from Malaysia. I went up there to see her and met her and I brought her down and, well, we got on well together. Just hang on. We're winning books over there somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
But we had a good life together.
Now, Sheila Harris, I think, said to me that one day you rang up and said, I want you to meet my pen pal. Is that right?
Yeah.
You used to write to each other?
Like that. And we became pen pals, and it was very hard to get the girls, a girl across to Australia because there were so many. Brought them across to Australia, they married, and then the girl disappeared, because she got what she wanted. to get into Australia. You know, and she disappeared. No one, but not till Irene, naturally. And we were married 17, ups and downs, of course, but mostly ups. You're married, are you?
Hmm.
Yeah. An Australian?
Hmm.
Yeah, good old Aussie. Yeah, but I couldn't get...
18 years.
Eh?
18 years? Something like that, anyway.
Yeah, I know. It's funny, isn't it? Funny. Like, you forget the anniversaries. If you forget the anniversaries, you know, in the pool, you know.
Yeah, well, you're good at it. You remember.
Yeah, I know, because it was, you know. I remember. But your loving husband must also remember.
Oh, he does.
Study, yeah. Otherwise.
Oh, no. I mean, we decided to get married on my parents' 49th wedding anniversary.
Yeah.
So we always remember the date because it was quite an important date because it was their anniversary as well. So it has an additional meaning.
Yeah.
Because my parents had a good marriage. So that was very nice.
That was good. Any children?
One little fella.
What? Boy or girl?
Boy, yeah.
Oh, how old is he?
Only 7.
Oh, well, yeah.
So we were late starters.
Yeah, well, you couldn't be later than us. I beat you there, ma'am.
I reckon.
Hey.
I was only 44 when I had Leo. How old were you when you had Martin?
Just hang on. Man's 20 this year. No, 20 next year. He's 19 now.
66.
Yeah.
Mm.
We were married in 62, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm. Mm. So, isn't it funny? Mathematics used to be a favourite subject of me. Mental arithmetic, quick on the uptake. But now...
Hey, you know, Leo, you know what my son's name is?
No.
Leo.
No kidding.
Absolutely.
Is that a fact?
It's a beautiful name.
I said, I've often used to say to my mother, if I was at my birth, I couldn't have asked for a better name, Leo. Leo the Lion, but just Leo. It was a nice name, short, say that again. But it is a good name, Leo.
It's your a friendly name, but it's also a strong name.
It is. It's a good name, but isn't that coincidence?
Hmm.
Eh, Leo?
Yeah.
When's you going to have a sister?
He's not. I'm too old.
Are you?
I'm 51.
Oh,
I haven't had my life.
Are you?
Yeah.
51, yeah, time goes. But in these troublesome times, one child is enough to look after with finances and everything like that, isn't it?
Well, I always said, quit while you're ahead.
Quit while you're ahead.
We were having a good time with Leo. If we added another one, it mightn't have been so much fun. Might have been too much work. So
who said that? Quit while you're ahead. Yeah.
I said quit while you're ahead.
Yeah. That was good.
Yeah. Now, looking back to you, so you've also talked about, so we talked about the bonfires, and we've talked about, St Kilda Beach was a mecca. So you used to go to Elwood Beach and St Kilda Beach?
Yeah, well, Elwood Beach is just around Point Ormond. Yeah. Oh. Well, on top of old Smoky.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Where? I know it's in my room, sorry. I had a photo of Elwood Beach. No, not Elwood Beach. The all those photos of we've taken over the year.
Yes.
Yeah, haven't gone through them for years either.
Yes.
But
so you all used to go down there for the day on a hot day?
Oh well, generally half a day drive there. I'll tell you, this is funny too. This part is what.
A minute.
I bought this chair once, thinking it was comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Bloody awful.
Is it? I can't
tell you why. It has slides down.
Oh, I can see that. Yes.
And if I sit on it,
yep.
The other day, this week I think it was, you can feel yourself going down, 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 and I finished on the floor. And I couldn't get, like, my arms are so short, I couldn't grab, say, there to pull me up. And I had to wriggle around like an eel on the floor to until Irene came back from shopping, you know. And she chastised me, you know, for getting in such a predicament. But anyhow, Leo, isn't that funny? Great name. You showed a remark. Who chose the name?
Me.
You did.
And I suggested it to Peter, and he said, oh, that's a good one.
Did he?
Hmm. So we're very happy about that.
Yeah, and yeah.
Well,
with
that a name.
Leo's how old?
Seven.
Seven, yeah, lucky seven. What football team do you root for?
Well, I barrack for St Kilda.
Do you? Yeah.
And Leo barracks for Collingwood and St Kilda.
Oh, yes, it's funny. Martin barracks for Collingwood. God, he's got Collingwood, sweaters. Mad Collingwood. I don't know why he barracks for Collingwood, but I'm a St Kilda man for years, all my life, you know. And I used to go up to St Kilda football ground to see them play. Hey, what about your parents? Do they follow it or?
Carlton,
oh.
Because my dad grew up in Brunswick.
But I always St Kilda. I hope they do well this year. That's what I said down the last.
Yeah, calm the Saints. It was a bit upsetting this year, wasn't it?
Whoa, wasn't it?
So close.
Wasn't fair, unfair. Curse the umpire.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And who was that big brute, you know, that got off?
What's that?
Wasn't one of the Swans players, didn't they do a dirty play? What's his name? Big brute. The Swan player. He did a bit of a dirty pass, and he nearly got thrown out of the game.
Ooh.
Oh, I can't remember. I'm bad at names. I'm bad at footy names.
Yeah, I know. Well, my memory's not so good.
Yeah.
But anyhow,
and so you used to go all the time? Did you go every week?
Oh, not mostly down to Kilda.
Whenever there was a
time
game.
Yeah.
And so what do you think is good about the Elwood community, because you've been here a long time?
I think it's a wonderful place. It's got everything. It's entertainment, near the sea, it's good shops. But I'll tell you what, no place is... Excuse me.
There we go. So you were saying that there's lots of good places of entertainment in Elwood?
Oh, well, look, you've got... I'll ask you, tell you, have you ever been to the Broadway Theatre? Where is the Broadway?
I know where the Broadway is.
The Broadway Theatre?
No.
It's in Ormond the Road, you know, and Now there's a little theatre. But then you've got the Palais, the Victory, the Memorial Hall. Have you been there? Yeah, Memorial Hall. The Broadway. Yeah, which is in what's that street that goes up where the tram used to? Ormond Esplanade, I think, yeah. That's why it was called the Broadway. Go on.
And you said that you used to, you'd see horse-drawn carts taking the lucky ones down to the...
Oh, yeah. That used to be a once-a-year journey. Are you right there?
Just checking.
Like the Broadway. Sunday school picnics. That was in the olden days. Coming down to Orwell was a big occurrence. And Sunday school picnics, children from outer suburbs, they'd be on these drays, plank down the middle, a couple of planks, and they'd drive down to the beach, down to Kilda. That was their annual outing, as it were, which was... See, people were easily satisfied in those days. They didn't have to go up to, say, Marysville for a holiday or things like that. But that was there. We used to sit on the sea wall and look at these cars as they passed, But another thing, too, was early days when I was a boy, we used to sit on the wall and name the cars that were passing. For example, there was a Buick. A lot of these American cars aren't in Melbourne now. If they are, they're very, very dear. But, but we had a good time.
Have you still got friends that you grew up with here?
Pardon?
Have you still got friends that you grew up with here?
I think my friends have become my enemies. But, we've got friends. Like, for example, most of them, don't laugh, are dead. Obviously I'm a sort of survivor, And when you say I grew up with, I haven't got any at all.
But you've got new friends like
But even so, after I retired, Dennis Pickens, one of my best friends, isn't it? Lance Trafford, we used to work in a bank, and a lot of them passed on in our angling club, they're conked out. It's so sad, you live to an age where suddenly, did you hear Bill Smith died? No? Another one did. But,
So what do you reckon about the, Elwood's changed a lot now, hasn't
it? This street used to be once upon a time. Have you been up to the end of the street? I see the lovely places up there, and the prices that they want for it, eh? Terrible. But
do you think it's changed the kind of people who live here?
Oh, once upon a time, everyone knew each other, and they even. If they had a canary, they knew his name even. Yeah, but it's changed. Of course it's changed. Like the days I mentioned when the butcher shops, you know, like the people used to go to the butcher shops to get their provisions, and then we used to be marvellous butcher shops, you know, good meat, used to be running around in Acton Street. We used to get our bread from a person who used to bake it on the corner of, Anderson Street. It used to come out hot, you know, the bread. They'd give you paper to get it home. But that was 80 years ago almost.
When did your parents die?
Mum died in 79, I think, and Dad died 66.
And so did you live here on your own?
No, yeah, for a while.
For a while?
Yeah.
And so you would have done all of your own shopping and
domestic, I did.
So did you get to know more people when you were
that? Yeah, you would. You know, I had my car, and I used to often drive out to, say, these outer shops up the village bell, park and then shop around. I used to like it, to love it. Do you like shopping?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah. It's part of it because you have good conversations with
people. Oh, that's where Irene does all this shopping now, you know. But,
you used to have greyhounds too? I had a
greyhound, all my life I wanted a greyhound, and I had a nephew that wanted one, so we bought one. He turned out to be a winner, he won 12 races, you know, and had our photo in the paper and things like that, but out at Olympic Park, you know, and he used to race, go down to the country at times. Race at Warrigal, some days, we had it trained by one of the top trainers, Carl Hass, H-A-A-S, German, I think, and Pat Hass. Carl Hass used to be bookmaker too, you never know. You'd say, how do you think it'll go tonight? Oh, it should go all right, but you would never say it's a certainty. You never got a firm understanding that it was going to win. But they would, because so many things happen in a race. Hey, do you like them at all?
Don't know anything about it.
Oh, great. Oh, well, we better not start on them. Otherwise, you'll be here tonight.
And I guess it's not quite to do with Elwood, is it?
Hey?
Did you have the dog here in Elwood?
Oh, no. As a matter of fact, my nephew lived on the beach at Elwood, Mordialloc. Beautiful place. And right on the sea. But he used to, just hang on. He used to have an affinity with these dogs. The dogs used to sort of adore him, Mark. He's got three children now or something. Sometimes the dog, Carl, the trainer, asked him, could he take a dog home with him at Mordiak and let him walk in the sea, you know, do good during his joints or something. Well, Mark took the dog home, and the dogs, like the greyhounds, are used to community living, you know, because there were lots of other dogs. And in the middle of the night, the dog was, lovely. You know, was crying out for his soulmate. And Mark couldn't stand that, so he had to go down to sleep in the kennel with the dog. Yeah. So,
that's very devoted, isn't it?
Say, man?
That's very devoted.
Very devoted, yeah. But if I took a, like, where we wanted something for the dogs, I'd take Mark and the dog in the back seat of my car, and the dog, as soon as Mark gets out of the car, he'd look at him through the window, you know, and never take his eyes off him, waiting for him to come back. And as soon as he appeared again, the tail would wag. And, but, oh, we had great times. But,
do you get out much these days?
Who?
Do you get out much these days?
No, no. Do you know, if I said something, I haven't had a big ride in Martin's car yet.
Haven't you?
No. I don't know whether it's fear, yeah, but he's offered me, he says, do you want to go for a run? Well, you can see by that, once upon a time I used to keep that clear as crystal, yeah, but all I say is that's past now. Mum, Irene cleans it occasionally. No, that's yours.
You have it.
Don't you want it?
No, I won't have it. And is it because you feel like you haven't got as much energy for that sort of stuff?
It'll be hard work, I guess, to get up, clear the grass, you know, up and down. I haven't got the energy. You hit it in a nutshell.
And you said, well, just going back to when you applied for the Commonwealth public service, you said that they rejected you because of your height.
Yeah. Well, that was put down to. And probably, where I made a mistake was, talking amongst the school boys, you know, they said, if you get up to Canberra, you'll get promoted soon. Well, in all those days, 1938, you know, you didn't think of height coming into it. No, yeah, you thought you just, I was just like you, normal being. But, well, even the doctor couldn't, he knew, he checked me over, and I was fit as a mallee bull because of the fact that I was always swimming, playing cricket, you know, with the boys, fit. And he said he submitted it to the Canberra, and Canberra said no. I suppose they said just take another name out of the barrel, you know.
They wouldn't be allowed to do that these days, would they?
I don't think so.
No.
Well,
there's laws against it.
Yeah, that. I know. Or yeah, you could scream, you know.
They wouldn't even do it. They know that, you know, they're not allowed to, because there's no reason whatsoever.
No, but in those days, that's going back a few many years, you know, like that. And to get in the state service, the doctor there, I think he must have been worded up, you know, he wanted this chap to pass, you know. But anyhow, my record holds good because I was there 38 years, yeah.
And so how do you, I mean, and tell me if you don't want to answer this, how do you think that...
I'll answer anything.
That, you know, as you said, I didn't grow up. Do you think that that's affected the way you've lived your life?
No. I'll tell you who I am. You don't see too many around now, dwarfs, you know, like, occasionally, you know, Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, they come out in a troop, you know, from England, most of them from England, I don't see too many little people, they call them little people, but I don't see many, but we live a long while. I'm getting stuck into the superannuation.
Good, they're having to pay for you.
Good. Yeah.
And so, do you feel like you had to kind of, you know, work harder or extroverted or, you know, or more or anything like that?
Oh, I need another thing too. I became a tennis umpire. You know, excuse me. There's a Davis Cup. That was...
Oh, wow.
What?
So you umpired for the Davis Cup?
Yeah, always.
Blimey. Fantastic. Who won that year?
Oh, America did. That was the day, first met after the war. Excuse me, Mr. Winter. Dapper Dan, eh? All those other chaps are dead. Yeah. That was 1946. Excuse me, Andy. No.
That's fantastic. It's a great looking cup, isn't it?
It's down. It's all right with all the matches that have been played. That was early.
Mm-hmm.
It is,
how did you learn to be a tennis umpire?
I used to play tennis.
So you're really good at sport.
Yeah, you used to say that. I used to play tennis. And, wait just 1 second. I used to play tennis, and I found myself, when visitors came, to do the right thing and umpire their matches, you know. And I thought to myself, well, I'll have a go, and I applied. But they have umpire classes periodically at, what do they call it, Kuyong, and I applied to become one of them. And the very first match I ever did, I went down there, I took a day's leave, and I walked down to the Kuyong, you know, from the tram, and I get there, and the match was scheduled at 12 o'clock, and I said, if I get there 10 minutes beforehand, you know, assignments will be taken. I thought there'd be a dozen people there, you know. And I walk in, And I said, excuse me, I've got the report as an umpire. Oh, thank God we've got one at last. And I was the only one there. And they said, look, we've got a match coming on now, John Bromwich and a chap named Bonner. He was a Western Australia champ. And I'd never umpired on grass before. And I thought to myself, I'll take the challenge, you know, never look back. So I took the challenge and, must have done well. And I went down with John Bromwich, he's about 6 foot odd. You heard of him. He was a champion, And walked down with him. And with him and his partner to the grass court and started to umpire. But once you're over the initial, I must have made a few mistakes, but they let it go. But and then on, I was there for 20 odd years. And isn't it funny, all those chaps are now dead, that's how it is. And this little squirt is still there. Next time you see the Davis Cup, you'll see, it's up that high off the ground.
And what? You seem to be the most, optimistic and contented person for somebody who is doesn't feel like going out much these days and losing their energy. Like, my mum's the same age as you, but she's, really unhappy about the fact that she's slowing down. She's really cranky about it, actually.
Why?
She just doesn't accept it.
That's it?
Mm-hmm. But you accepted it. Accepted it with enormous grace.
Yeah.
What's your secret?
I suppose plenty of good food. No, it just go on, But I enjoy meeting people. Like today, I met you. Just every day is a new history. You never know what's around the corner.
So what's the most interesting thing that's happened to you recently?
What I called my first snapper. A member of the angling club. I caught my first garfish, first fish, ANA Day, Australian Day. It used to be called that, Australia Day. Just hang on. Pardon me.
Bless you.
I don't know where I got this to differ. ANA Day 1926. So that's when I caught my first fish off Port Orwell Jetty, which no longer exists.
And what were some of the other... You said one of the first things you said is that there are things in the world, in your life, like built things, that you just assume are going to be there forever. And that you wish you'd taken more notice. And you mentioned the pier, and you also mentioned the wall. Is there anything else you can think of that fits into that
category? It's hard to say. Everything's changed. No, I don't think those. On a very, very hot day, summer's day, they'd all walk down to Point Orwell Jetty to get the cool breeze to change. They'd say, oh, the change has come. It's cool change. You've experienced that yourself, haven't you? It was wonderful. When the change comes.
and everybody escapes their houses, and
The houses are generally made of brick, but they heat up, and it's terrible to be inside of them. But look at what we have now. We've got fans, what else?